Coming to you guys live from Time Warp Comics and Games in beautiful Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Hey guys, it's Steve Strangio. How you doing? I'm flying solo today. So I'm going to fix this a little bit here. Today we, because as Dave so eloquently put it, life got in the way. Jason cannot make it today. Austin can't be here. Stephanie can't be here. So it's all about me right now. Wondering which way the camera is. Yeah, I think the camera's right there. Anyway, so we're going to be posting this on Facebook Live as it's happening right now. Then also, eventually, we will strip the audio from this. And if you are listening to us on the podcast, that's an audio podcast, you're more than welcome to share and listen and download. I'm seeing people are joining right now, so thanks so much, guys. We're going to be building a little audience in just a bit, and then we will read some really cool news stories from a new site that we are affiliated with now called Nerd Reactor. I will post the link up on Nerd Reactor. They have, you know, thousands upon thousands of likes on Nerd Reactor, and we have been asked to do a audio podcast for them. So starting next Wednesday, in addition to Super Action Smash and New Comic Book Day, we will be doing a live podcast. I have yet to come up with a name for the live podcast. It will be a live podcast on Facebook Live, and then after the fact, we'll put it onto audio, and then we will basically do it from there. So what's happening here is I have my phone right here, and as you guys are commenting, either I'll see it here or I will see it here on my phone, and as we do the news stories, be a part of the show. You know, let me check out this thing right here. We got Time Warp Guest, making sure everything is okay and good. So once again, I don't have a name for the podcast yet. If you guys have any ideas for this podcast, let us know. It'll be live on Facebook. We'll try every Wednesday. If it's not every Wednesday, every other Wednesday. And then we will broadcast it on a site called Nerd Reactor. It'll be part of their podcast network. And like I mentioned, they have a very, very large audience. And one of the goals when you do podcasting is basically to go where the people are listening. I mean, we live in a world where basically anybody can do a podcast, which is fantastic, but not everybody can hear a podcast. And the cool thing about podcasting is this. You could download it and listen to it whenever the hell you want to. And that's part of the fun of podcasting. Whenever I'm trapped in traffic, or if I'm on the bus, or if I had a hard day, so I lay down on the couch and snuggle with my pug, and that's not a euphemism. I actually own a pug. Then you can listen to a podcast. It's basically radio on demand, if you don't know what that is. I've been podcasting since 2005, so, you know, it's been a while. And like I said, while we're doing the show, give me some ideas for the podcast. All right, so the stories that I have are right here. I would love to go paperless one of these days, but unfortunately I can't go paperless at the moment. These are taken from a, like I said, a website called Nerd Reactor. If you search Nerd Reactor, let me see if I can actually search it right here since we're actually on. Yeah, it's real simple. Just search Nerd Reactor on Facebook and you can see the site. But for now, we are broadcasting live right here as we go. I can actually put the sound on. See, look, we're on a loop. Can you hear that? Yeah, that's kind of cool. I'm going to lower the volume on that one. We were trapped in a time loop. That was pretty freaking awesome. All right, guys. So, what do you say we get to the first? We're going to do some movie stories, and then we're going to do some TV stories as well. And this will be a more relaxed show. Usually when I'm with Jason, we're super hyperkinetic, and things go really quickly. But I figured if we're just going to sit here and have a nice conversation on the Facebook, then maybe you and I, you guys, you crazy kids who are watching the show. I think the camera's right there. Right there? It's over there? Yeah, it's over there. You can add your comments as we go. So let's see here. Logan is actually coming to home video for your people out there that are a big fan of Logan. Let's see, it's coming on home video on May 23rd. Can we even call it home video anymore? It's always like streaming or digital distribution or on demand, whatever the hell they want to call it. It says here, Hugh Jackman's final Wolverine film is coming home after nabbing over $600 million at the box office. Fox finally announced details of the Blu-ray release. Do DVDs even exist anymore? I'm worried about that because I have DVDs. I still have Betamax tapes. I got to find a front-loading Betamax. That'd be awesome. Let's see. So in addition to 90 minutes of content, every copy of Logan comes with Logan Noir. That's James Mangold's black and white version of the movie. James Mangold, the director. To celebrate the release of Noir, Fox is teaming up with the Alamo Drafthouse. If you live, you know, over there, you can go check it out. But unfortunately, I live in New Jersey. Not really unfortunate. I'm kind of digging living in Jersey. Oh, I'm a Long Island guy for life. But for now, it's kind of full. The geek culture is strong out here, guys. It's a very strong geek culture out here in New Jersey. So there's a lot of really cool places to go. And a lot of conventions are happening out here, too. So let's see here. There'll be a live streaming Q&A with director James Mangold. So Tuesday, May 16th, starting at 8 p.m. If you go, it's for a one-night-only event. And if you search that on the internet, you can probably find out where the live streaming event is going to be. So James Mangold, this is a quote from James Mangold. During the production of Logan, I took many black and white photographs and noticed how striking and dramatic our gritty settings and characters appeared in monochrome. Then, while editing, Fox and I started posting some of the black and white stills online, and fans also began to respond enthusiastically, many hoping that they would get a chance to see the finished film in carefully timed, high-contrast black and white. Well, sometimes hope becomes reality. So you're going to see a black and white version, almost like, you know, if you're a big fan of film noir from the 40s, that was a style of movie that, what, high-contrast black and white, you know, anything can be black and white. I mean, Clerks, black and white. But if you want to do high contrast, it's really striking. And the gritty way that Logan was filmed is perfect for that. So that's going to work out pretty nicely. So, yeah, you can see a black and white version. Now, if you get the Blu-ray, there's so many there's an Ultra HD combo pack, and the Blu-ray features Ultra HD Blu-ray disc with the movie in 4K with HDR. If any of that makes any sense to you guys, then more power to you. Here's what you get for that. Logan Noir, the black and white version of the film. Audio commentary with director James Mangold. Deleted scenes with optional audio commentary by Mangold. And Making Logan, which is not a porn. It's a behind-the-scenes documentary. So if you want to check that out. So yeah, Logan on Blu-ray comes on HD, Ultra HD Blu-ray DVD. So there you go. May 23rd. It goes, in addition, the film will also come out on digital HD on May 16th. So if you're a fan of that, do I have any Logan fans out there? Give me a like. Give me a thumbs up if you have a Logan fan. I'm going to drink some coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the cold brew. I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna own up. I still haven't seen Logan yet because it's, for some stupid reason, hard to go see movies these days. And when I go see a movie now, it has to be like, you know, at a movie theater that has beer or food. Otherwise, I don't want to go. Because sometimes, you know, you have to sneak in a burrito or a beer when you go into these things. And I think theater owners are a lot more relaxed these days when it comes to sneaking food into the theater because they realize that, you know, some prices of tickets are astronomical. However, I did find a theater out here called Center Cinemas in Rutherford, which I went to go see Fate of the Furious. $8 to go see it. And that's unheard of in today's society, unless you're like a senior or something. But it was pretty awesome, you know, and I love discovering these movie theaters in the middle of freaking nowhere that you can just go check out and see. So it was fun. You know, plus I was the only person in the entire movie theater, so that actually worked out pretty nicely for me. But if you can find the movie theater, that is either, you know, discounted, or if you go during the day. I know that I think Optimum used to have a deal where you could actually, you know, go on Tuesdays and get a, you know, a discount. But those are hard to find. And if you belong to one of the clubs, I mean, get one of those cards, like Stubbs, if that still exists, and a few other places, Regal Cinemas, you know. But then again, there are these independent movie theaters out there that are trying really hard. There's one, like, right down the block from where I live. It's because of digital, now everything looks and sounds so much better. So you can go see a movie, and it's real simple to see. And usually not a lot of people go to the movies these days, unfortunately, but they're trying to get people to come back. And I personally, it all depends on the movie that I'm seeing. If it's a midnight movie and there's a lot of people, I am absolutely on board with going to see a movie in a large crowd. But then you have to deal with people kicking the back of your seats, and people are still talking during the movie, or they're taking out their phones. I mean, it used to be just like somebody would light up a cigarette, and that would be annoying. But now with new technologies, there are all different sorts of annoyances going to the movies. But I still enjoy the movie theater experience. It all depends on where you're going. There's a place out here called iPix, I-P-I-X. And when you go there, it's almost like you get your own little suite. You know, it's a small little area. It's enclosed. And you can actually watch the movie and get some food. It's expensive. But if you, you know, are going out to dinner anyway, it's best to, like, you know, go to these places. And there are some places that understand how to do it, and then there are some places that just have no idea. I mean, there was one place out here, like a dine-in movie, they called it, and the service was horrible. You know, the people who were working as the ushers slash servers didn't care, you know, and it took so damn long to get your food. So if you're going to open one of these types of theaters, I think it's super important to understand that service matters, guys. You know, there is an Alamo Drafthouse in Yonkers, in New York, which is not too far from here, and they understand how to do it because they love movies, and they also have a strict policy with no phones. If you take out a phone, then you are kicked out of the joint, and I applaud that because there are people who can't go 3 seconds without checking their phone, so it's kind of annoying. So anyway. What do you say we move on to our next story? So Emma Watson was in Beauty and the Beast, and she said that she is open to a sequel. And Disney heard this, and they said, "Nope, no, we're not. No, we don't want to." it says here, no one can deny the live-action Beauty and the Beast starring Emma Watson ended up a rousing success. You guys want to know how much money they made so far? $1.14 billion for the live-action Beauty and the Beast. But will there be a sequel? Well, Emma Watson was, like, on board with that. Here's what she actually said. "I would love to do a sequel," she told Access Hollywood via MTV. "I always thought that Belle would become a teacher, and she would run the library in the castle and open it up to the village. This was where I was going." So Disney's Sean Bailey said, no, we're not going to do that. So, this guy named Mike Fleming Jr. wrote on Deadline, which is deadline.com, after interviewing Bailey, "There are currently no plans for a sequel, and the studio, perhaps with Alice Through the Looking Glass as a reminder," because that didn't do so well, "they won't try to force one. It will explore possible spinoff and prequel scenarios." So they kind of say, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Let's see here. So Bailey told Fleming Jr., "The first teaser trailer was viewed by more than 90 million people, and almost half of them came from Emma's vast social media channels." And let's see. Yeah, basically, you know, Emma is a good media presence. I mean, obviously people know her from, you know, and they wanted to check out what she was like as Belle. Once again, another movie which I didn't get a chance to see. But what the heck? I mean, you know, she's, you know, not all of Watson's movies are mega hits, but that kind of influence can help. The original 1991 Beauty and the Beast sequel, actually it spawned, I should say, two sequels. One of them titled The Enchanted Christmas, which were released in 1997. as a shorter 71-minute movie. It was one of those Disney movies that kind of come out, you know, straight to video. Back then, straight to video was, you know, kind of a black mark. But now, with digital distribution, it's all about what can we get out there. And I think digital distribution kind of took the black mark of off. You know, remember, you know, back in the early days when video stores existed, and you'd go to Blockbuster and you would try to find all these films that went straight to video, like every Steven Seagal movie or Richard Grieco movie or whatever that was out there. I kind of dug those movies because they tried harder, you know, and they were sort of a hybrid TV movie slash cinema movie. But now with digital distribution, since there are so many different ways, I mean, hence for the Facebook Live audience, if you're watching this on Facebook Live and you can tell, you know, that you can watch something anywhere, watch it on your tablet, watch it on your phone. I mean, my wife is currently watching A Handmaid's Tale, the episodic series, on Hulu, on her phone every day to work. You know, the whole stigma of having something digital distribution is gone. You know, it makes it easier. It makes it more accessible. And I hope to produce a lot of films that go straight to digital because, as much as I say, as much as I love the movie-going experience, there are certain types of films that just work better on your tablet, you know. If it's what they call mumblecore, which is kind of a thing that was created, it's a film with a lot of talking. Clerks, I guess, would be an example, even though it wasn't labeled mumblecore. The Puffy Chair by the Duplass brothers, who I was lucky enough to meet one day. You know, they have that style of film that you can watch on your phone, you can watch in on your tablet, you can watch in short bursts. But if you are going to go see a big cinematic movie like Fate of the Furious or even the live action, you know, Beauty and the Beast, you probably do want to see it in the theater. But, you know, some people don't have that time. So that's basically, if we can wrap it up here, it's not certain whether a proper Beauty and the Beast sequel is happening, and it looks unlikely, it says here. However, Disney is not slowing down with a live-action remake of their classic movies. In the next few years, you can expect to see live-action versions of The Lion King, Aladdin, Dumbo, The Little Mermaid, and so much more. So as you know, we are filming this in a live comic book store right now, so if you do see people behind me, let me know, you know, if they come up on me. I invite you to have a beverage while you're watching this. So we said we move on to our next story. Speaking of Disney, Johnny Depp dressed up as Captain Jack Sparrow, and he surprised a bunch of Disney fans at Disneyland recently. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales will be coming to theaters later this month. To celebrate the upcoming film, Johnny Depp has participated in a very fun video. Dressed as Captain Jack Sparrow, the actor surprised fans inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, or Pirates of the Caribbean, depending on how you say it. In addition to that, he also made an appearance at New Orleans Square. He does that a lot. He'll dress up like Captain Jack Sparrow and just kind of go off on wacky tangents. I remember there's a video, if you want to check it up on the internet now, where he went to go see some sick kids, you know, and who were big fans, and that was kind of awesome to see. Let's see here. In addition to that, he also made an appearance at New Orleans Square. Disneyland guests gathered around Depp as Sparrow. Depp made a rousing speech to the assembled fans. And it says here, the actor truly embraces his role and his fans, and not once did he break character. So he had a damn good time here. Let's see here. There were several exciting moments that happened during the video. One fan thought he wasn't really Johnny Depp. He thought he was a robot. Kind of wacky. The look on his face was priceless. Many others were overjoyed and quickly whipped out their smartphones, of course, to capture the occasion. People, if Godzilla would attack, they wouldn't run. They would take out their phone. And you and I both know that would actually happen. Let's see here, yada yada yada. So what's going to happen in the upcoming version of Dead Men Tell No Tales? Captain Jack Sparrow finds the winds of ill fortune blowing even more strongly when deadly ghost pirates led by his old nemesis, the terrifying Captain Salazar, escape from the Devil's Triangle, determined to kill every pirate at sea, including him. Captain Jack's only hope of survival lies in seeking out the legendary Trident of Poseidon, a powerful artifact that bestows upon its possessor total control over the seas. So that is the plot of Dead Men Tell No Tales. Let's see here, yada, yada, yada. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell, hits theaters Thursday. Yeah, it'll be on a Thursday. Hits theaters May 26th. So it's going to be in 3D, real 3D, IMAX 3D, and super hologram laser 3D. No, that's not true. That'll happen next year. So you can actually be a part of the whole deal. So that's kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be a fun time. Big fan of the... if you're a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, let me know. We can talk more about it. It's rollicking adventure. You know, that's one of the things I like about certain movies that understand exactly what they are. You know, I have this ongoing joke with Jason on our show, whereas I hate it when a superhero show or a superhero movie takes the time out to have them sit down at a coffee shop and talk about their feelings. God, though, I hate that. Listen, if you're going to be a superhero movie, be a superhero movie. Every scene should be about what's happening in the adventure. Every scene should forward what's going on with the adventure. It's okay to have feelings. It's okay. I enjoy a good chick flick as much as any other guy. P.S. I Love You is actually one of my favorite films. The Sure Thing, actually one of my favorite films. I don't mind seeing films where people talk about their emotions. What I do mind is if I go to see a superhero movie and the drama about their relationship overweighs the fact that they should be shooting or punching somebody with their superpowers. That's all there is to it. So that's just my 5 cents when it comes to that. So, yeah, but the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, they understand exactly what they are, and they have fun, and it's an adventure. And there are certain movies where you just want to go and enjoy the adventure. I mean, you know, the perfect example of that is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark, to me, is the perfect adventure movie. And that movie was created because Steven Spielberg and George Lucas wanted to make a film that was an homage to the 1940s adventure serials, where, you know, these movies were played before the actual movie, and they got right to the point. You know, and with, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, sure, there's the occasional moment where they're sitting down talking, but the movie moves, and it's a thrill ride, and it's an adventure. And I'm not going to say check your brains at the door. I'm saying, you know, enjoy the adventure while you see it. That's it. All right, guys, so we say we move on. We have a few more movie. We are basically taking these stories off of Nerd Reactor. And that's going to be one of our new alliances with the show. We'll be doing a podcast, which we'll do live here first. And then we'll strip the audio and then put it up on whatever. I guess either SoundCloud or iTunes or iCloud or SoundTunes or whatever the hell else you want to do. I don't know. So any fans of the Kingsman out there? I'm a big fan of Kingsman. Kingsman the Golden Circle has its own branded whiskey. It's called Old Forester Statesman. Now, the whole thing, I'll tell you more about Kingsman. Let's see here. The synopsis for the sequel is this. Eggsy, Merlin, and Roxy head to the United States to join forces with the Statesman, the Kingsman American counterpart. After their headquarters is destroyed by Poppy, a notorious criminal mastermind and member of the secret group, the Golden Circle. So what happens is, as part of, I guess, the marketing campaign, the Statesmen are actually developing their own whiskey because, you know, America. According to Forbes, who spoke with Old Forester President Campbell Brown, he said director Matthew Vaughn wanted the product of the Kingsman's American counterpart to have a business that was as focused on craftsmanship and legacy as the bespoke business of the first film, which was suits. In case you were wondering what that were. And thus the idea was born. As the oldest bottled bourbon in America and the only bourbon to be bottled and sold before, during, and after Prohibition, Old Forester was the right partner to craft the line of whiskey. Our objective was to take what they used in the film, this fun, interesting, creative bourbon storyline, and bring it to life. So we've created Old Forester Statesman, a product that is very different from the Old Forester. that you could actually buy today. It's actual whiskey that does exist. It's an older sort of bottle. It's a premium expression of what we make. So in a brilliant stroke of marketing, they've taken some whiskey in a company that already existed, and they put their own stamp on it because the Statesman, based on what's happening here for the Golden Circle. So instead of, you know, having a tie-in with, like, Juju Bees or something, they're going to be actually doing this, so whiskey, which this could be whiskey as far as you know. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. The Kingsman, The Golden Circle will hit theaters on September 22nd. So mark your calendars, September 22nd, 2017. So I think everybody pretty much is going to be back. Let's see here. Yada, 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 American whiskey. Yeah. All right, so if you're a fan of Kingsman, which I definitely was, Mark Millar, or Miller, depending on how you pronounce it, is one of these just amazing graphic novel and comic book writers who has continually made some amazing stuff. Wanted, you know, many other films that were out there. Kick-Ass, you know, which the first one. Second one kind of strayed its path, but the first one was damn awesome. And this guy understands how to make a superhero film. It's gritty. It's always R-rated because he's a Scot. He's a Scotsman and does not pull any punches. And the style of the first one, if you guys are fans of it out there, let me know. The style of the first one was hardcore, you know, but at the same time, it was whimsical. And the way they directed it, the fight scenes were just intense. And it was also one of those films where it sets you up to let you know that, okay, well, I've seen this before and it's no big deal. And then something happened. And they even said that, you know, in the story. It's like, this is not that kind of film, you know, and they incorporated that into it. If you pick up the graphic novel, it is a little different. The ending, and I use the word end, is a little different. If you read the comic book, you understand what I mean. If you don't, just go to the last page and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a good experience. You know, there are some graphic novels out there that will, you know, faithfully adapt to movies. But when you do a movie, sometimes you do have to change it a little bit. But the problem with the translations for some of these films is that they change them too much. And then when you change them too much, it just ruins everything. But I think they really adapted Kingsman really well. So I heartily recommend, even that I'm sure they have it here at Time Warp Comics and Games, pick up The Kingsman. And I'm sure the graphic novel adaptation is going to be out soon if they base it on something. All right, guys, so you are listening to the podcast. We're calling it right now. Right now it's kind of the Strangio Show. But if you are watching and you are listening and you want to suggest a name for this podcast, we're going to add Jason, you know, and or anybody else in my inner circle that wants to be a part of this podcast. I may have to get another microphone, but you know, the idea for doing this is to air it first on Facebook Live so you guys can join in, make your comments, be a part of the show. And then we basically strip the audio and then make it Nerd Reactor Presents ... whatever you think this podcast should be called. So I'm just going to have a drink of water. I invite you to do the same or drink whatever you have on you. We are coming to you live from Time Warp Comics and Games here in Cedar Grove. It's a little late today because of some wackiness I was having with my phone, which I don't want to get into, but we've all been through it when it comes to billing. I'm not gonna get into it, but anyway. So moving on, we already did a bunch of movie news stories. You can actually go to Nerd Reactor, and I'm actually going to double-check. As we're talking right now, I believe it actually is nerdreactor.com, so I type in, and type along with me, N-E-R-D-R-E. A C T O R .com. And if you go there, they have a really cool, awesome site when it comes to all things movies and TV and, you know, either geek related or fan related. They have various sections at nerdreactor.com. They have all news, movies, games, TV, culture, and anime. So if you are a fan of that and you want to keep up to date on all the things that are happening, like I mentioned, we're going to be doing this podcast on Nerd Reactor. They have a Facebook page, and they have all social media. So if you want to check that out, definitely go there and check out nerdreactor.com and also like them on Facebook, because that is where we are going to be. So any fans of The Tick? You guys, I'm a big fan of The Tick. I mean, I was actually, I found out about them first through the 1990s cartoon series that they did, which was way too smart for the room when it first came out. The Tick was a parody of superhero, and I guess he's basically superheroes, and he's just a gigantic, rather manly tick guy in a big blue tick outfit, and he had a sidekick named Arthur who might have been a moth, could have been a bunny. We're not really sure what the hell he was. So, fix that. And it was a continuing storyline that aired on Saturday morning cartoons, and I don't think a lot of people knew how to deal with it. And I loved it because, you know, I was a big comic book fan to begin with, so I got all the in jokes, I got all the references. But a lot of people didn't, unfortunately. So if you can, you know, Google or maybe even go on YouTube or even just buy the DVD, whatever the hell it is, stream it, whatever it is, I heartily suggest going to see the cartoon version, the animated version of The Tick. Then they made a TV show, and it was almost like a ripoff of Seinfeld. It was not good. And, you know, at the beginning of me doing these podcasts and stuff, I try to stay as positive as possible. Because anytime any superhero thing comes on TV, I'm just happy that it's out there. Because for the longest time, a lot of superhero stuff just really sucked because people in charge didn't understand what it meant to do a superhero, you know, show. And they made fun of it as opposed to giving it the personality and the, I guess, what's the word? The respect it deserves. But since the generation grew up that understands comic book movies and TV, now, as you can see, the nerd culture has exploded, and now it's mainstream, you know, because people finally understand how to do it correctly. Just sipping some coffee. And I'm happy. I'm actually really happy now that it exists, because they're doing it right. But the first TV show was like Seinfeld for superheroes, and it's a shame, because it had a great cast, you know. But now, Amazon, I believe it was, let's see here. Yeah, this week, Amazon Prime Video announced that The Tick will be premiering, get this, write this down, Friday, August 25th. And let's see here. I'll see if I can pronounce this guy's last name. Peter Serafinowicz. He's from Guardians of the Galaxy, so IMDb him. He's going to be playing The Tick. You can actually watch the pilot if you go to Amazon Prime. It was one of those, they made a whole bunch of pilots for Amazon Prime, and this was one of them. And it's interesting because it made it sort of feel like, because like Arthur is there as a sidekick, but it sort of made it feel like that The Tick was part of his psychosis, which scares me. I really don't want that to be the answer, but here's a synopsis. In a world where superheroes have been real for decades, an accountant with zero powers comes to realize his city is owned by a supervillain. As he struggles to uncover this conspiracy, he falls in league with a strange blue superhero, and that is The Tick. To help Amazon choose which shows to greenlight, it made the pilot episode, like I mentioned, available for Amazon users. The Tick competed against shows like Jean-Claude Van Johnson, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. However, Amazon decided to proceed with giving both shows a first full season. That's great news for fans of both The Tick and the martial arts actor, and I'm sure Jean-Claude Van Damme. The man is actually a very good actor when you give him a chance. And I think in his later career, he actually stepped up and he actually does, you know, show some really good acting chops. I think actually one of the Expendables movies, they actually named his character Villain. And if he could pull that off, I mean, come on. So it says here, the series looks to be taking on a different approach. This is the writer speaking here. Based on what I've seen from the pilot episode, one would think that the show would feature lots of The Tick, especially since the show is named after him. Nevertheless, the show seems to be focusing more on Arthur. I'll be honest with you guys, it's scaring me a little bit. So I really hope that they show more of the Tick, because the guy playing him was actually really, really good. And I had mentioned earlier on that there was a Tick, you know, series before, so there's a whole... Here's some information about that. This isn't the first time the Tick had a series. Fox released an animated series in 1994 during the Fox Kids block, and it was able to last three seasons. I thought it was just one, but it's actually three seasons. Townsend Coleman, who's known for voicing Michelangelo in the classic 80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series, voiced the Tick. And then later in 2001, Columbia TriStar Television decided to make a live-action version featuring Patrick Warburton. You may know him as Putty from Seinfeld or Joe Swanson from Family Guy, that aired on Fox. The show only aired eight episodes, and then soon after, the network canceled the show. Fox didn't own the series, therefore it didn't bother to properly promote it. Business kids, that's the way it goes. So the Tick will premiere on Friday, August 25th on Amazon Prime Video. Ben Edlund, the Tick creator, created the show, which is good news. It also stars Griffin Newman as Arthur, and Jackie Earle Haley as the Terror, Brendan Hines as Superion, Yara Martinez as Ms. Lint, and Valerie Curry as Dot Everest. So that's something for you kids out there. If you're interested in that, definitely see the Tick if you can. All right, moving on. AMC's Into the Badlands has been renewed for a third season, which is good. You know, I'm glad, because this season they actually got a little more violent and they added more blood, I guess, based on, you know, the reaction to The Walking Dead. People wanted to see things. And if you haven't seen Into the Badlands, it's a pretty awesome show. It's basically if you took all of those Hong Kong karate movies and you know, all the action karate movies from the 70s and all the insane stunts that are done, and actually paid attention to it and used actual cinema tricks to make it look real, you know. So sort of a fantasy martial arts journey adventure, if you're into that kind of stuff, which I am. So let's see, a third season is set to premiere in 2018. With an expanded 16-episode season. Season is currently in the second season, with the sixth episode airing soon. Into the Badlands looks like nothing else on television. A literal high-wire act, attracting passionate and dedicated fans by the millions, said Charlie Collier, president of AMC, Sundance TV, and AMC Studios, in a press statement. Thanks to series creators and showrunners Al Goh and Miles Millar, the terrific cast, led by Daniel Wu, and the amazing martial arts team guided by the incomparable Master Didi. Now, I'm not going to make fun of his name because he can kick my head off. And fight directors Stephen Fung and Andy Cheng, and everyone else involved who brings this thrill ride to the fans. So let's see here. According to Nielsen's ratings, Into the Badlands averages 2.1 million viewers, ages 25 to 54, making it the fourth most watched drama on cable in that demo. So they used words there. If you don't know what it is, let me tell you what Into the Badlands is all about. It centers around Sonny. Yeah, his name is Sonny. Once again, not going to make fun. Head can be kicked off. Living in a post-apocalyptic world called the Badlands, where barons rule the lands. Sonny is known as a Clipper, and he is a skilled assassin, but turned away from that life to find a new home for his partner and their son. After being kidnapped and taken outside the Badlands, Sonny must find a way to return home to save his loved ones. So it's pretty cool. It's, if you've watched the show, it's sort of, like I said, the hero's journey. There are several storylines going on at the same time. The barons are awesome, because essentially they're just badass kung fu martial arts masters who, there's like the widow and a few others. The widow is astoundingly hot, and she's a redhead who can wear high heels and just beat the crap out of people. And then there are so many different levels and layers. It's almost like if a mafia, you know, families fighting against each other, if they were martial artists and there were no guns, basically. It's a pretty damn cool show. So if you want to check it out, it's actually currently playing right now. You can catch it on AMC on demand. They're not paying me to say that. I just said it. Streaming and binging seems to be the way to go these days. So if you want to check it out, do that. All right, guys, moving on. We have a few more stories to go. Once again, if you are watching live and you want to comment, I am more than happy to include you in the conversation. If not, if you just want to hang out there and watch, that's perfectly fine. If you're listening after the fact on the audio podcast, you could basically shout really loud and I'll hear you. That's my superpower. And then I'll just like call you and we could talk on the phone about stuff. If you like what you're hearing, share it around. Tell your friends. Tell all of your friends. Tell your enemies. Make friends with people on the street and tell them about this podcast, because otherwise, why the heck am I doing it? So I've heard of this guy named Mark Hamill. It's in a little film called Star something, Star Battles, I think it was called. Let's see here. If you want to see Mark Hamill right before he became Luke Skywalker, you can do that. Once again, we are taking these stories off of Nerd Reactor. So if you go to nerdreactor.com, you can actually see the video of some of Mark Hamill's shows just before he became Luke Skywalker, or Luke Starkiller, if you're a hardcore fan. So when people hear the name Mark Hamill, they may instantly think of Luke Skywalker, Starkiller, or the Joker, if he didn't realize that. He was also the voice of the Joker in Batman the Animated Series. So he was in a bunch of other things before then. I'm kind of looking at what we had here. He was in, let's see, he was in Eight is Enough. He was in the pilot for Eight is Enough. And Hamill starred as David Bradford. He starred as the oldest son. He was actually in Eight is Enough as the oldest son. Hamill's character contemplated whether he should move out of the house after a family disagreement. And like the character, it turns out that Hamill wanted out of the fictional family. Hey, Mark, good decision to focus on that little space opera movie that the kids were so happy about. He was then replaced by an actor named Grant Goodeve in the following 111 episodes. So essentially, the oldest son from Eight is Enough was actually played by Mark Hamill. And he was like, nah, I'm going to go do Star Wars, and I'm going to roll the dice and see what happens. And, hey, you're smart, Mr. Hamill. Let's see here. Now, if you want to see that performance, once again, go over there to nerdreactor.com and just search Mark Hamill's – I'm losing my voice – Mark Hamill's role right before Luke Skywalker, and you can actually watch the rare clip from Eight is Enough. Or you can just search for it on YouTube, too. Never try eating nectarines since juice may dispense. That was the pilot. Who the hell thought of that name? I have no idea. If you don't know about Eight is Enough, that was a show back in the 70s, I believe. Hold on a second. Talking is thirsty business. The show follows a family with eight children. Tom Bradford, the father, worked for the Sacramento Register as a newspaper columnist. His wife, Joan, was responsible for taking care of the children, but she died 5 days after the second episode aired. So he became, you know, eight kids and dad. Dick Van Patten was the name of the dad who became a dad character. So if you're a big fan of that. So check it out. Also, if you don't want to watch Eight is Enough, Mark Hamill was also on The Bill Cosby Show. Not The Cosby Show, The Bill Cosby Show in 1970 when he was around 18 or 19. So it's kind of strange. He's a guy, he played a character who was bullied for defending poetry. So good for you, Mark Hamill, standing up for the poets of the world. So if you guys want to see that little Star Wars film, The Last Jedi, that is hitting theaters on December 15th of 2017. So if you want to read more, go to nerdreactor.com. All right, guys, so I think we have one more story to go here. This is all about Marvel's New Warriors, which is Marvel Television and Freeform. If you're a fan of Freeform, they have released their first trailer for Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, which is another superhero movie about feelings. A series about young love and drama. Okay, I'm sorry. I really want to give it a chance. I'm going to give it a chance. Maybe it's better than I thought. The show will be premiering in early 2018. So in addition to that, Freeform and Marvel have announced the character lineup for its upcoming new Marvel's New Warriors, which is based on the comic book, if you're a fan of that. It's going to be a live-action comedy. It follows six young people with superpowers. To top it all off, they're all living and working together. Oh, it sounds wacky. Let's see here. So here's a synopsis. With powers and abilities on the opposite end of the spectrum of the Avengers, the New Warriors want to make a difference in the world, even if the world isn't ready. Not quite super, not yet heroes. Marvel's New Warriors is about that time of your life when you first enter adulthood and feel like you can do everything and nothing at once. I feel like that every day. So bad guys can be as terrifying as bad dates. Waka waka. So that's happening, let's see, it's going to premiere in 2018 with 10 30-minute episodes. Let me run down the characters. And I'm happy they're actually going to include this one character, which I've actually been a fan of for a while, and not many people know about it. I mean, the hardcore comic book fans know about her, but she's going to lead. A character named Doreen Green. If you don't know who that is, it's Squirrel Girl. I've always been a big fan of squirrels for some reason. I just think squirrels are awesome. And Squirrel Girl is this character. Her superpower is she has the powers of a squirrel and the powers of a girl. So she's acrobatic, strong, can fight, and can talk to squirrels. So if I was in high school, I'd ask her to the prom. The heck, or prom, as they say. They don't say the prom anymore. I'm going to ask her to prom, which sounds weird to me. So let's see here. Doreen is a totally empowered fangirl. She is a natural leader, confident and tough, but not innocent. So Squirrel Girl is going to be the leader. Then we're going to have Mr. Immortal. His superpower is he cannot die, ever, maybe, or so he says. So he's the team troublemaker and Lothario. Craig is kind of like the most interesting man alive, except he's more cocky and confident than that. So we're going to have him. Then we have a character called Night Thrasher. The character's name is Dwayne Taylor. His superpower, he doesn't have any superpowers. He's a local celebrity hero with his very own YouTube channel. Yeah. Brilliant, strong, noble, and maybe a bit full of himself. Dwayne is a shameless self-promoter and entrepreneur, but he also deeply believes in justice. I mean, okay, so Batman doesn't really have superpowers, but he is like the manliest man around, and that's his superpower. So there you go. So I'm guessing it's sort of a parody on Batman. We have three more characters. Speedball is going to be one of the characters. His superpower is that he can launch kinetic balls of energy. Should hang out with my pug. Robbie grew up watching Quinjets take off from the Avengers Tower and loves the idea of being a hero. He's an impulsive and immature people pleaser with a misplaced sense of confidence, which sounds like every teen I've ever met in my life. Then we have two more. We have a character called Microbe. His superpower is that he can talk to germs. Mm-hoo. Zach is a shy hypochondriac whose ability nearly makes him a telepath. The germs tell him where you've been, what you ate, and who you hung out with. So that's kind of wacky right there. And then finally, we have a character named Debris. Her power is that she is a low-level telekinetic trickster. Debris is a proud, funny, and quick-witted. She's confident, says here, confidently out as a lesbian. Good for you. Debra has experienced deep loss in her personal life as a direct result of super heroics. She can take care of herself, or at least she can. That's what she thinks she can. She's the one who calls people on their BS and has no fear of putting her opinions out there. So Marvel's New Warriors is based on the comic book by Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz. They made their first appearance in 1989 in a Thor comic book. So a little trivia for you guys. Their popularity grew, and a year later they had their own series by Fabian Nizietza and Mark Bagley. So there you go. So New Warriors coming out soon, guys, so check them out. All right, guys, that's basically it. Not a lot of fan interaction during this, which is perfectly fine. But we're going to be expanding this podcast very soon, and you'll be able to listen to us on the Nerd Reactor, I guess, podcast network. and we're going to be adding more people to the thing, and you guys are more than welcome to join the fray and be involved in the show. All right, guys, that's basically it. This is Steve Strange coming to you live from Time Warp Comics and Games. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.